Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, June 27th, 2022, and we have all sorts of things to talk about today. It's last week and even today, there's just been amazing things going on at the Supreme Court. And we're going to get into take a deep dive on that today. But before we do, and because we're going to talk about that, and because of what it's the Constitution and the 10th Amendment, sovereign states, I'm going to start today's show with the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, critical to tonight's discussion, sovereign states. A perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was by William Tyler Page, and it was accepted by the House of Representatives back in April of 1918. It was written in 1917 and accepted or adopted in 1918. I'm going to give you a quick update, and then we're going to take a deep dive. Carolyn Schoen is going to be joining us here momentarily, and we'll go from there. But first off, just some general updates of some things that were going on. I did change tonight's show. I had planned on talking about the mental health and the government control and stuff, but with everything that was happening with SCOTUS last week, I figured we better talk about this tonight, so I did switch that. Next Monday, we will be doing a show, Independence Day. I will do that, and please remember, I've been saying this for at least the past 5 years, we are not celebrating July 4th. We are celebrating Independence Day, so please do not say Happy July 4th. Say Happy Independence Day. Do you say Merry December 25th or do you say Merry Christmas? Same thing. Don't try to marginalize and minimize what the day is. Saying July 4th doesn't really give it any meaning except red, white, and blue or whatever. Saying Independence Day actually is what it's about and means a little bit more. So please do that, even though I know I say it all the time. Whatever. Okay. The other thing, some other stuff that was happening, and some of you may have heard about it, and you're more than welcome to chime in on it. Apparently, a bunch of New York City prosecutors resigned yesterday or today. And they're sick of the soft-on-crime stuff or something. That should be interesting. Rudy Giuliani was assaulted as he was out there campaigning for his son, so that was another one. Then we have good old AOC and Warren out there. They want abortions to be on federal land. That's going to be an interesting attempt on that one. Democrats moving to the GOP. I'm hearing something to the tune of 100 million have switched parties this year. And as we talk about the other issues with SCOTUS, we're going to talk about what the impact on the election is going to be on that. Have we riled up a bunch of communist Democrats who are going to go storming the precincts, the voting precincts, whatever, who knows, the ballots? We'll see on that one. California man was caught with enough fentanyl to kill 12 million Americans. I've been talking about the biological war, bioweapons on that border coming from China, and this is what it is. Why would one individual need enough to kill 12 million people? Okay, then the other, Louisiana, this one, this one's on the show page as well. Louisiana judge was blocking the ban on the abortions. We'll talk a little bit about that. Vice President Harris, with her usual stupid comments. She's so clueless. What she said about the abortion stuff, just so clueless. It's stopping women from having the same health care. When they go to bed at night, they're not going to have the same health care. Something crazy like that. She's such a nutcase. I mean, it's hard to think that a man with severe dementia and whatever else you want to call Biden is better than that lady. Then there's a question come out about legal challenges that will come in place if corporations start using funds to transport or pay for the travel arrangements so people can go have abortions in another state kind of thing. what was an Amtrak derailment, and then, of course, tonight, 10th Amendment sovereignty. People don't seem to understand what the 10th Amendment is about. They don't understand that if it's not in the Constitution, then it goes to the states. They don't understand that part of it. So that's that. Let's see, what else here? The, excuse me, and, you know, with the topic of tonight is what does all this really mean? What's happening with what we have seen happen with these various cases, religious cases, and, of course, the Roe v. Wade one. We had the two cases where in Maine they were not going to be allowed to block funding to the parents if they put their child in a religious school kind of thing instead of a public school. They couldn't do that. Then there was a football coach who had been fired because he prayed on the football field. That's been reversed or whatever. That was proven unconstitutional. And then the, of course, the biggie is about the Roe v. Wade thing, Dobbs case, where it's reversed Roe v. Wade. And Roe v. Wade, the what that really means. And collectively, as I put this together myself, and then when Karen gets on here, she's going to share her thoughts. And this is just a few of the cases. Overall, we're seeing a restoration of the Constitution. We're actually going back and say, wait a minute, that's not what the Constitution says. That's not what the Constitution says, and we don't have the authority to do this. So we're actually going back to the Constitution. Does this mean, and I've been talking about this, you know, does God still bless America? Why would God bless America with the things we're doing? Are we starting to see that God is paying attention to what we're doing, that many of us are trying to restore the integrity, the humanity, the decency of this country, and now is giving us some help? Is that what this is about? You know, it's you have to make up your own mind, but it's like something else is happening. We, with all of this going on with this court, which, of course, we have to give credit where credit is due, much as I'm not a Mitch McConnell fan, he actually did play a role in all of this too. But Trump, we were able to get constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. I'm totally surprised by it. Didn't know whether these people were going to show show their true colors. Clarence Thomas, you knew he was always going to do that. Alito, you figured he's pretty much there too, but you really just didn't know what was going to happen with the three new ones. But right now, we seem to truly have people who understand what the Supreme Court is for and what the Constitution is, and that what their role is interpreting the Constitution as it was written, not whatever people want it to mean today. So when I just think of all this happening, it's like, are we being given a second chance? Do we have a chance to save this country? And you got to think about, what are the globalists out there, the Agenda 21, the Event 201, the nutcases who are trying to do the Great Reset stuff, New World Order, they must see that Americans are not backing down. They must understand that we have awoken, you know, awoken the sleeping giant, whatever kind of thing. But people are starting to really realize they aren't just giving us credit, or I should say not signing away their rights to whoever's in public office, assuming that these people are going to watch out for the best interest. COVID, this is really one of the silver linings. It's kind of crazy where COVID was such a negative in so many ways, it actually was part of the awakening of what's happened here. You know, so many of these things I don't know would be happening had it not been for the insanity of what COVID did, making kids stay home with the schools, and kids, parents starting to realize what was really happening in the schools, and these just other variety of things of COVID making people pay attention to what's going on, including your health care. Well, wait a minute. If you have your body, your abortion, whatever else, what about my body and no vaccines and all this kind of stuff? And so it's all been really some weird blessing in disguise of what COVID really means. And because of the insanity and the evilness, crimes against humanity of the Faucis out there, what they're trying to do with the smallpox, no one's going to pay attention to it. The bad part is if we have something really happen, nobody will pay attention to it either. But we see how they will use things like this as weapons against us. And that's what they did with COVID, you know. But we realized eventually, and there's still some people who are still having problems out there trying to figure out what's really going on. But we're still believing, still drinking the Kool-Aid, drinking the COVID Kool-Aid from Fauci and company. But it's made other people pay attention, made other people start questioning why what we should be calling critical thinking that they don't teach in school today. But luckily, we've got enough other people out there saying, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. So that was another thing. And I really do think it's got to be sending. What would you think of Klaus and company who are coming up with the useless people and what are we going to do to depopulate, which, of course, abortion was definitely a depopulation thing as well. What are they thinking right now? What's going on in their mind with the fact that we, the people, are pushing back? We've actually got people on the Supreme Court who are pushing back. We still have to be aware. You have those loons on the other side, the communist loons, which they've always been communists. It's the more I know about the Democrat Party, the more you realize how evil they have always been. But you know they're not going to stop. You know they're going to fight in the streets. They're going to do what they're doing in the streets, what they did in the streets last summer, and what they're going to do now and what they started doing is going to be so much worse than January 6th. Yet you got these morons in D.C. who are still worrying about that. And apparently they're having a last-minute hearing or something. They're going to have some other hearing tomorrow on January 6th that wasn't planned or something. These people are just totally nuts. That's all there is to that. But the whole thing is there's something else is happening, whether this is a revolution of our soul to get us back to where we belong, to get going back to God, one nation under God, in God we trust. Something is happening here. I'm hoping it's all going in the right direction. I'm hoping it's going to help us save our country. But with that being said, I'm going to get Karen on here. Let's talk about these different cases, and there's so much going on. Roe v. Wade being one of the biggies, but it wasn't the only one. The thing with the guns in New York and the religion and stuff, there's just a lot happening, and I want to know what you guys think about it. Please feel free to call in, 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 if you want to speak on the air. And the only thing, and I know the two people who know what I'm talking about, that's going to be John and Nathan, if you're listening, and you call in, please do not get into the Electoral College or the water in California. We're really focusing on what's happening with the Supreme Court, how we're restoring, reinstating the Constitution of the United States, and what this means to the election, what these Democrats will do, communist Democrats will do to the election kind of stuff. We're talking about what is happening right now with this country. With that being said, let me get Karen on here. And Dr. Joe, I see you out there too, and I'll get you on in just a minute as well. So, hey, Karen, what are you thinking about all of this stuff going on?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Sally. It's always wonderful to be on your show and really be able to have a full conversation. I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and I believe right now that the pendulum is swinging in the opposite direction, which a pendulum always does, and what we call originalists are now interpreting the Constitution rather than the folks who give it the living, breathing label. And that's where the rift is always. I'm trying to figure out how to explain this to people so that they understand the ramifications and the consequences of the two groups and what will happen as a result. So I'm thinking of an analogy, and I came up with this one. Let's say you are a member of a football team, and the coach calls for a practice. And at the practice, he gives all the players their playbook. And the coach says, pay attention to plays number 7, 8, and 12, because those are the ones we're going to do first. So all the players read what's on their playbook, and they go out in the field. And the coach, however they're yelling it, and they yell the numbers. And everybody does something different. How does that work? How are you going to play that game? And they all took out their playbook, and they're yelling at the coach saying, no, it's my way, it's my way, it's my way. but each of those plays is different. And, of course, each of those plays was designed for the people who are going to get them. So the play for the black player is more pictures because they don't think he can read. And the play for the Muslim player is full of Allah says. And they go on and on and on, and they are giving the plays to the people for who they are rather than what they can do for the team. Can this group go out and win a game? How could you go on the field and play against another team if everything that you do is different with each player? So now let's take the opposing team. The opposing team gets their playbook, and they go out on the field, and everybody knows all the plays, and the quarterback yells the plays, and everybody does the same thing. And they win the game because they are a well-oiled machine all working together for the same goal. Well, that's what this is about. We have a group of people who believe that the Constitution should be interpreted for anybody, anytime, anyway, as long as they're part of a designated group that they have determined is a group. And they have made up a language for that group. They have made up play rules for that group. So each group is different. Well, how can you run a country like that? You can't. You have chaos. And when you have chaos, nobody pays attention to who's stealing what from whom. And I believe that's what we have going on right now. We should be so thankful for President Trump for putting originalists on the Supreme Court. And we have to stand strong and not allow them to, as they say, pack the court, because their idea is if they put 9 more justices on, well, then they don't have to worry about anything ever. They'll get whatever they want passed all the time. That's not the way to run a country, and that's not what the Constitution is about. The Constitution is a set of rules that everyone is supposed to have the same set of rules and follow them in a nice, orderly manner. And that way, each person becomes the best that they can be. And because they know the rules, they all work together and they all promote together. And that's what being an American was all about. So I think that we should do a couple of things. And one of those is drop all of the adjectives in front of the word America and just become Americans. That'll drive the left nuts because then they won't be able to divide us. And that's what all of those acronyms and all of those adjectives do. They're there to say you're the black American, you're the white American, you're the Christian American, you're the Jewish American. No, I'm not. I'm an American first, and then I'm a Jew. That's the way it works. It is my country. If I don't have a country to live in, we went through this with Israel. If you don't have a country, you don't have anything. And if we are not taught that, the most important thing is our own personal property. And the fact that they want to take it away and steal it is what this is all about. They feel there's too many of us on the planet, and therefore they must do their utmost to get rid of us. And what better way than war? They're out all the time. They make a fortune supplying all of the machinery for the war. And then they make a fortune when the people come home because they leave the machinery and all of the equipment over there for the enemy to have. But they have to make new equipment because it'll be better. So we are fighting we are fighting a group of people who have absolutely no desire at all to preserve life and to preserve America. And nothing is more evident than what we are seeing right now. Yes, we can be rest assured that true Marxist thinking and doing, these people who many of them are paid off by the NGOs and a lot of them work in the school system, so they're off in the summer so they can have their summer of rage. That's what Marxists do. We have to read history. We have to understand it. We have to be prepared for it, and we have to let it not happen. Oh, my goodness, how could you not let it happen? How can you do? What can you do? You could arrest them. You can make an example of them. You can send them to jail. And I will bet that when you do that, you will find that most of them can't read and write. And that's the real tragedy of this whole thing. But it is so refreshing. It is so wonderful to see our Supreme Court is following the Constitution, which means that you and I both know what the laws are. We know what we can expect. And if we do something wrong, it's on us, not them, because we did it wrong. We have to, our kids are going to school right now, and as they're growing up, they're learning, I, me, 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 what can you do for me, how great am I? So that's what they're learning. It's my thoughts, my plans, oh, you're making me feel bad. Oh, I can't, oh, you can't do anything is the problem. And now Biden just forgave $1 billion worth of student loans. So all of us hardworking people that may not have gone to college are now paying for these criminal Marxists to go to school and to turn on us, which is what's going to happen. We have to become smarter than that. We have to be better than that. We have to know what they are going to do before they do it, because they all do it the same way. We need to read the playbook. We need, when was the last time you read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals? Read that. When was the last time you read Blueprint to Take Over Colorado? Read that. That's exactly what they're doing, only they're doing it throughout the country. They tried their little experiment, and they're doing it throughout the country. So shows like yours, Sally, need to be shared. It's wonderful that we're here and we're all talking, and this is incredible, but we need to share this information as well, because if we keep it to ourselves, who cares? You know, we have learned, unfortunately, to be the silent majority. And we have learned not to talk about politics and religion. And that's an uncomfortable topic. How can you talk about that, Karen? Can't talk about politics and religion, but you can talk about the drag queen sex hour for kindergarten. Does that make any sense? Makes no sense at all. And that's the idea, to keep us confused, to keep us off our toes, to keep us in flux so that we don't know what's going on, because there's a fire over there, and then there's a fire over there, and then, excuse me, there's a peaceful demonstration over there and a peaceful demonstration over there. Of course, the buildings are on fire, but the people meant it in peace. Give me a break.
Okay.
I mean, think about what these people are doing. Their policies are absurd. They make no sense. We have a food shortage. Everybody knows we have a food shortage. The price of food is going off the charts. People are going to be starving, and that is going to be so sad. So what did the administration do? They increased the amount of corn and soy that you're going to be putting in your tank as ethanol. And what is that going to do? Well, that might decrease the food supply, you think? Well, they don't want to think, because ethanol to farmers is a big voting block, and now they can make the farmers happy by having them produce corn that they're going to burn in a fuel tank. We have to stop this insanity.
Well,
because the programs don't make sense. They're not supposed to make sense. They can't work. They will never work, because if they did work, then we would turn around and say, thank you, the program worked, we don't need you anymore. And then they wouldn't be in power. So the programs will never work, so that they can come back and say, if we only had more time, please reelect us, we only need more time, and if we only had more money, so I'll give another $1 billion to Ukraine for guns while I take yours away.
That's so insane. So
it is,
insane.
And we accept it, that's the worst part. That's the
worst part.
We have to start doing things like they do. So a listener sent me, actually from Cindy Lucas, sent me a a note this morning and said, we will be demonstrating this Saturday at a store to be named. We will go into the store. We will fill our shopping carts up with all the merchandise that we can possibly fill it up with. We will then go to the front door and drop our shopping carts off and tell these people that we will never shop in their store again. I thought that was great. Could you imagine a whole bunch of people going to Target, and doing that?
Or Walmart?
This is fighting back. They don't have to go steal the stuff.
Yep.
Just get it off the shelves. Pile up the shopping cart. And then say, thank you very much for canceling Mike Lindell. Or whatever. Or having your drag queen story out. Or making sure your quota was diverse and inclusive.
Making sure you're using company money to have people travel across the country to get an abortion.
Right, yes. Thank you very much. We love your policies. So we're going to do this every Saturday. We're going to help you. We want you to see your inventory. So we'll take it off the shelves for you.
No, you go, and you have the right to
change
your mind.
Back.
You were shopping, and you decided, well, I really don't need this after all, and then walk out.
That's it. Folks,
if there's going on around me, especially out of Walmart, after the games they just played with Mike Lindell, I'll do that.
Yes.
Roll confusion.
Yes. Imagine a bunch of people going to Walmart, filling up their shopping carts and saying, walking to the front of the store and saying, thank you for Mike Lindell, and walking out.
Yep. I was going
to
buy this.
We have to disrupt
Mike Lindell, I'm not going to.
Yeah. We have to disrupt what they have put in place, because that's what we have not been doing. And fighting back doesn't mean that you pick up a gun and shoot somebody or that you steal their property. No, there are many, many, many more ways to show your disgust for who these people are than doing something violent. That was Martin Luther King and that was Mahatma Gandhi. And they believed that peaceful demonstrations civil disobedience. So you are disobeying, but you're doing it civilly, kind of like what you did, Miss Sally, when you called the office last week and you asked the senator if she needed a Bible because she didn't understand the importance of life. Now, that's a lot nicer than calling up and saying, you stupid moron, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So,
I see what you're doing. I don't understand it. I need some help me clarify. I understand. And if you've lost your way, I'll send you a Bible.
Yeah. Now, that will go further than calling them up and yelling at them, because they won't know how to handle that. That's the whole thing. You want to catch them off guard by doing what they're doing, only giving it a twist for our gain, not for their gain. If we follow their path, okay, so never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, we've got plenty of crises right now that we don't have to let go to waste. You know, instead of sending over 70 planes a day of illegals into the country. I mean, these are things that, where are the governors? Who's going to pay for this?
Well, and you're missing the governors. And I got to get two things in there. We've got some callers that I want to get Dr. Joe on here, and then a couple other callers out there too. The thing is, I just totally lost my train of thought there. What we need to be doing, governors, when it comes to these governors, this is where I don't want DeSantis worried about running for the presidency in 2024. Forget that. We need strong governors, because we are a nation, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. And this is what people don't understand about the Second Amendment, or in reference to the Roe v. Wade stuff. It's what the Constitution says and what it doesn't say. If it doesn't say it, it goes to the state. And isn't that what these people are really afraid of? Because they know that the state, the majority of people do not support abortion as it is, aborting a child as it's coming out of the womb. I mean, come on. Or 2 or 3 minutes after, or a month, whatever. What the infanticide stuff. It's so sick of to what they've done. I heard someone say it earlier today. It's like, well, there was a certain sympathy and understanding for a prostitute who was also a drug addict and an alcoholic and whatever else, and Lord only knows what that lifestyle was doing to that baby and whether this person would ever take care of them and things like that. So, and then, of course, the teenager, the unexpected pregnancy routine. And so there was a certain amount of trying to sort of sympathize or whatever. There was this situation to do this, but it the way this other person was saying it on the show, we gave you an inch and you took several miles or something to that effect. It was one thing to try to correct a problem, whatever you want to call it, whether pregnancy is a problem or not, and especially when it comes to the drug addicted people and all this other stuff, what they're doing, the child abuse going on as they carry that child in that condition, that kind of thing. But then what? But then you decided that you were going to make it at will, which goes back to our vice president saying it's a medical issue. Not a pregnancy isn't a medical issue. It's a natural issue. It's not a medical condition.
Can I throw in one comment that you just said when you said that charming name? They're screaming, "My body, my choice." Well, it was, for the majority of them, it was their choice to get pregnant. If they didn't make that choice, they wouldn't have been pregnant. And if they didn't want to be pregnant, how many different contraceptives are available today? There is no excuse for an unwanted pregnancy if you know your body and you understand what this is all about. But when you're being fed a bunch of lies saying it's not really a viable baby, that's a different issue. So parents, learn what your kids are learning in biology. You'll be shocked.
And try teaching your kids about sex education, about sex.
Yes, and you should be teaching your kids about sex education, not some stranger. Why would you leave a job like that to a stranger?
Yeah,
bad idea.
Well, outsourcing parenthood, the total outsourcing of parenthood, which, again, was part of the COVID thing that, wait a minute, what's really going on with my kid's life here? It was amazing that way. Hold that thought, and I know you're going to only be able to stay on until about, what, another half hour, 30 minutes, something. I know
yes.
You got to drop off a little bit early. But let me go ahead and get Dr. Joe, and I do see John is out there, and I see the other Joe out there, too. So please hold on. Don't drop off. We're getting to you. There's just so much to say on this kind of stuff, and that's why I wanted to have tonight is just a let's talk about it, open mic kind of thing. Okay, Dr. Joe, can you hear me? Can you hear us?
Yes, Sally. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Well, adding to what Karen already said, it's a great day for the Constitution that the newer Supreme Court justices, of course, with the help of Alito and Clarence Thomas, stuck by the Constitution and put the abortion issue back to the states where it should have been in the first place. As you know, Roe is actually bad law. It's been said by many people, including Professor Dershowitz. But we've had bad case law in the past. We had Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, which was reversed 58 years later by Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954. But the Democrats and the mainstream media are making it sound like this is the first time that the Supreme Court has ever reversed itself. And, of course, your low-information people who haven't been learning their American history the last 40 years don't know that. So they're believing it. So that's one of the problems we have. But anyway, be it as it may, it's a good day. And, the Democrats also point to the fact that Roe was passed in 1973. by a Supreme Court with Republican appointees. Well, those Republicans were rhinos, you know. So, and that's the other thing. There have been many rhinos through the last 50 to 100 years, and we're finally pushing back on saying these are not conservatives, but they have the R label after them. So that's what we're dealing with. You know, the other thing that we have is that you have Barack Obama miscalculated in 2010, and instead of codifying abortion with the Congress into law, because until you codify it, these court decisions really could be reversed, which is just what happened. Instead, he decided to go with health care. Okay, the other miscalculation is Ruth Bader Ginsburg wouldn't retire when Obama was still in office. And, of course, she died, and that opened it up for Trump to appoint Amy Barrett. And those are two critical things which brought us to today. And the other thing that I have hope for is that, and I know I'm throwing a lot of things out right now, but the other thing I have hope for is that Barack Hussein Obama did not have the same traditional American childhood as our Supreme Court justices. You know, he was born, lived his first 5 years in Indonesia and all that, his teenage years in Hawaii. He did not have hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet like the rest of us. So he never really totally understood us. And I don't expect the globalists like Schwab and all those other Europeans to understand us either. That is the one thing that we have as our advantage, is the American spirit. And they can't figure it out. And we need to hang on to that so that we can ultimately win against these people. But that being said, there's a blog that's called Coffee and COVID, put out by Jeff Childers, who lives up in the Panhandle. And he has a weekly blog, or daily blog, a weekday blog. But he actually made a special blog on Saturday to talk about this reversal. And he said he predicted, and I'm quoting this, "I predicted this would happen last summer after the Supreme Court first declined emergency appellate review of lower court decisions upholding New York's various vaccine mandates." And he goes on to say that even many pro-choice constitutional scholars agreed that Roe had a shaky foundation. And the states, however, some states, including Florida, unfortunately, rushed to pass laws and amend state constitution to protect the privacy rights and bodily integrity rights. But it was never done by the U.S. Congress. So Roe would never have been overturned without the 2 years that we just had with COVID. Isn't that an interesting thing? The Supreme Court decision, you know, is the latest and most obvious example of how the pandemic overreach has badly backfired. And there's more backfiring to come. So I find that line of thought about bodily autonomy, privacy, et cetera, that's going to, hopefully you'll see more of that in the news over the next couple of weeks. Because how can they say my choice, my body, when we want to say my choice, we don't want the vaccine? You know, you can't have it, but you can't have it for them and not for us. So this whole bodily integrity thing was really the death knell to Roe. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Let me put one other thing out there real quick. I think you and I talked about this earlier, and I may have briefly mentioned in the beginning. When it comes down to this whole thing, people need to remember, and I'll talk more about this next week on Independence Day, we don't need a constitution if we don't have a declaration. The declaration was the key document, and the constitution is supposed to support that declaration. And it's in that declaration where we say the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The question was back then, and I think it, to some degree it's still today, from a legal perspective, when does life begin? Because right now, I think that's part of the question. It's like, well, wait a minute, it's my body. This is my property inside me. It's not a life. Or, you know, there's this attitude about when does life begin? At one point, from a legal perspective, life begins at birth. So up until then, it was a piece of property, which it's kind of disgusting to say that, but at the same time, that was kind of the attitude. As long as it's inside me, it's my property, and I can do what I want with it. So when does life begin? And I think that might be the ultimate amendment that needs to be done to this Constitution to clarify what the Declaration says, the right to life. Is it when you can hear the heartbeat? Is that when life begins? Is there a problem? Can you take the morning after a pill kind of thing to prevent a pregnancy that may or may not have even been happening? Whatever. When does life begin? I think that's truly the key question to this, to come to a resolution, you know, and which also protects the right of privacy to the body as well.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see, I think you're going to see each of the 50 states is going to have a different answer to that. They're going to have a different answer to when life begins. They're going to have a different solution for privacy and bodily integrity. And so you're either going to have to fight in that state or move to another state if you don't like it. But you got 50 states to choose from. So that's going to, the Supreme Court rightfully said, this is not a federal issue. This is a state's issue. Because basically the 50 states are like 50 little countries, really. So, you know, go live in the country that you like, you know. That, you know, and you're going to see a lot of that. That's what all the – I think that's – you're going to see the flurry of lawsuits as well as legislation in the next you know, when all the legislators meet again, probably next spring, because that's when they usually have their sessions.
Yep.
You're going to see that, and you're also going to see it probably hit some of the different races, you know, in the elections. The good news, at least for Florida, is that our qualifying period has ended, so people can't just jump into the race now. So we're kind of stuck with the candidates that we have. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with these races. But at the end of the day, the biggest problem right now we have is inflation and other problems other than a social issue. But of course, as you know, the Democrats have nothing better going for themselves right now, so they're going to be heavy on abortion.
Yeah, exactly. Karen?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, just look at what their policies will now be. They want to open up abortion clinics on federal land. They want the military to, in their hospitals, have abortions and open it up to what the public. So they're not done. They're never going to be done. They have nothing else. They have to yell at this. They have been, they've invested billions of dollars in it, and it makes money for them, so they have to continue that. The good news is it was 1 million new registers for the Republican Party, and it really wasn't the old Republican Party, although I love your acronym, Sally. I thought that was really good. Anyway, there are now 1 million more people that have switched their party or have signed up with the Republicans, and they are not looking for the rhinos. So that is very, very, very good news. And also the New York State Supreme Court just shot down New York State's latest bill that says any non-resident in New York State can vote. And New York State said, no, you have to be a citizen and you have to be a resident of New York State. So it looks like the courts, thank you, President Trump, are beginning to recognize that you can't have a different set of rules for different groups of people, that everybody has to abide by the same rules if you want a country to function properly. Otherwise, you will not be able to function, and all you will have is chaos. And during the times of chaos, our rulers steal our stuff, and that's what they are intending to do. So Dr. Joe is 100% right on. What we have to pay attention to is the border and immigration, and press our new candidates if they get elected, will they bring back America's dependence on energy? And people are saying, oh, they can't do that. Biden will veto it. Well, if you have a veto-proof Congress, then it doesn't matter what Biden vetoes. They can say, no, sorry, no money. Oh, fracking over there? Yes, please open up Anwar, or, you know, whatever. Open up Anwar. We need to have oil drilling there. And it looks like Sarah Palin is going to be elected as a representative from Alaska, which will finally give the Alaskan people. But if we have those things going on, then I believe that it will assist the end of the inflation and recession, because that will open up millions of good-paying jobs. So I wanted to share one thing with you all before I left. I thought this was really quite interesting. My husband and I had a conversation today about China. And he said, you know, they are killing us and beating us in ways that people don't understand. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, we have the majority of our products being made in China. They are inferior quality, and they usually don't fit and will break and cause massive damage to the whatever it is that is being used. And how destructive is that to a small business? I had never thought of that. But their products are inferior, and we need to get our products back being manufactured in America by Americans who have pride in what they do, not in some Chinese factory, slave factory, where the people don't care and all of the other atrocities that China is doing. But I thought that was quite interesting. And then I opened up a package that I had just received, and unfortunately it was made in China because I couldn't get it anyplace else. And lo and behold, guess what? It was damaged. So the next time I can have this package, this part that I need, is in November of 2022. Now, if I was a small business and I relied on this part for my business, I'd be out of business by November 2022. So there are many ways for them to go after us economically. And this is part of what we need to do and be aware and understand and be prepared. If you need something, don't buy one, buy two. If you can at all, because chances are you'll never get the right one again. So there are multiple ways. It's not just buying off our legislators. It's also in the quality of the products that they produce, because they are more concerned with quantity than they are with quality. And why would we ever want another country to own and control the things that we need to make our lives better? So I thought that was very interesting. I never looked at it that way, but that'll work. Whatever they can do, well, and yeah. This is what communists do, whatever they can do to make it worse, well, they will do.
One quick comment on the Made in China stuff. Because, well, I mean, we've got to admit or take some of the blame ourselves, because we want cheaper prices, and we don't, many people don't truly care about the slave labor going on. But I sent an email out earlier this week or last week, and it's like, don't buy that Trumpy bear because it's made in China. I mean, you might like it might be cute, but go, and I actually sent an email to the company that was pushing that or was selling it online or whatever. And I said something about, is it true these are all made in China? I mean, can you just imagine, hey, Trump, do you like to know that your Trumpy bear is made in China? Which it's not his bear. It's somebody else who manufactures, came up with a patent, whatever else. So people need to understand that it's not Trump's product, but it's the Trumpy bear, and it is made in China. So don't buy it because it's made in China. Let them start making it here and then worry about buying it. Anyway, I had to say that.
No, I agree with you. The problem is you won't have enough of this stuff made here, although I have been noticing more, and that's a good thing. We need to have more things made in America.
Well, there's something even more serious here. our pharmaceuticals are still being made in China, or at least the bases are.
That
is very dangerous. I mean, if they were to withhold blood pressure medications, you know how many Americans would have a stroke? I mean, this is still a very national security issue. We need to bring these pharmaceuticals back, and we really don't have enough time. I mean, Trump identified it, but nothing's happened. You know, nothing. It was too short a time period for him to do anything about it before he was kicked out of the office. And of course, Biden's not doing anything about it. So we're sitting here, sitting ducks, with our pharmaceuticals. So,
Joe, can't the Congress do something about it, which is another
They could if you get a new Congress, but it's a very complicated issue. It goes back to the 1990s, where we had tax laws that enabled us to make pharmaceuticals in Puerto Rico. But you can't – it takes time to fire up the plants and everything. It's not the flip of a switch. We need a couple of years. I don't know if we have a couple of years to start bringing all that back here.
If we don't start, we have no use.
Oh, no, we have to start, but I'm saying, you know, we're sitting ducks until that happens. And in the meantime, you know, every time they shut down Shanghai, whether it's COVID or not, I don't really know what to believe with the Chinese. No one ever does. But the point is they're still upsetting our supply chains. And as long as they upset our supply chains every couple of months, we're going to have higher prices.
Yeah.
It's all definitely economic warfare.
You
know? But anyway, getting back to the Supreme Court, you know, I don't think that this is the only divine intervention I see here is the fact that this is Trump's legacy. You know, the Scalia seat went to Gorsuch in April of 2017, right when Trump was inaugurated. And then the Kavanaugh came in October of 2018, just before the November of 2018 elections, which we lost the House because Paul Ryan and other rhinos retired. But Trump knew that year to focus on the Senate. So we retained the Senate. And then when Ginsburg died, we were able to put in Barrett just before the 2020 elections. And that was our, you know, that was our divine providence. However, I do think, I don't know, Sally, if we're really being helped by God or not. I think that the Supreme Court decision is the first step in a country returning to God. Because for many years we've turned our backs on God. And if you look at the Bible, I see many readings every day where the Jews were constantly being punished. You know, they're exiled to the desert, exiled to Babylon, exiled here and there. And because they were always turning their backs on God and he would punish them. Okay, well, we're no different. We turned our backs on God in 1973 with Roe. And we have many other issues. We've returned our backs on God. Let's just hope that this is the first step in returning to God. But we still have a long way to go. God help us.
Yep.
This is step one.
I'm not sure how much longer you could be on, Karen, but I got John out there, too, so I still want to get him in. But I also know you're just about to have to drop off.
That's okay. You can have John. I don't want to take him this time.
Okay. John, are you there? John, can you hear us? Or are you on mute? Okay. Well, John, wake up or turn, flip the switch. Make sure you're not on mute. Okay. Well, we will put him back on mute until... Well, John, if you decide you want to join again, hang up and call back in, and I'll see you out there again because I'm not sure whether you're still on mute or whether you stepped away or what. Joe was out there. He has dropped off. I think he got tired of waiting, but sorry about that. But we're having some good discussion here. So anyway, with that being said, the other thing that I do believe that we're getting back to it, you know, taking God out of public schools was a big one. And everything we have done to reject God in this country, which is all part of the plan. It's all part of the Saul Alinsky, change the culture. What are you going to do to convert people into another mindset? And what they're doing to us now, taking us down. But the thing is, and I go back to what this whole thing with the Supreme Court is, the way they have been marginalizing us, taking away our rights, gnawing away at stuff, the games they're playing with the Second Amendment and everything else, it seems to have helped with this awakening. And is that going to be what is the saving grace for us? Is that going to bring people around to realize where we've gone wrong and now we have to correct? The Supreme Court has to correct its wrongs, which I think we're going to be seeing some more of that stuff. Now is the time to challenge a few other things that have been going on. And, you know, it's kind of like with the Second Amendment stuff. Here, I mean, they try to say, I heard, I can't remember who was saying it, someone who was talking about on the show, on a show, radio show, about the Second Amendment was for state militias because we didn't have a national military at that time. And they tried to say, but it wasn't strictly for the state militia. It was part of it, but it wasn't strictly that. The whole idea is you have to be armed to defend yourself against the tyranny of an out-of-control government. And just different things like that, we have to go back and revisit what the original intention was. And that's it was never the intention, the separation of church and state. How much garbage has that been for what it really was supposed to be versus what they've manipulated it to a common goal, a communist takeover? We have to accept the fact that there's people who don't want us. I mean, why does George Soros care anything about what the United States is? Why he and Bill Gates? What is it with these people, Klaus and all these others out there? Why do they want to take down the United States of America? Why do they think we should all live as they want to live? They're the elitist, and we're just the useless people routine that they want to get rid of. It's all very sick, but it's all because, again, going away from any kind of faith, any not trusting in God, not one nation under God, not having a core foundation of belief of what the human condition is and what we are here. We are here from God's graces that we're here and this kind of thing. So, and we got the same thing. What with China? Are we going to just continue to let China take over this country? What is the, and this like will come to, I hope, come to a Supreme Court deal. Let's talk about treason. What is treason really? And what does it take to go out there? Do we the people have the right? We are the sovereign. We are the government, right? When do we have the right to go out there and do something about the invasion and the treasonous actions of those in charge? And I think these are things we get to push to the Supreme Court now. I think this gives us a chance to do a little bit more of a taking back our country. And isn't that what Trump has been saying too? Taking back our country. It is our country. It is not theirs. Kind of thing. And with that being said, Karen?
I believe it's a little bit of everything. And I believe that the people are beginning to see that turning away from God and using morality is not working. And that people have to be accountable. You can't spend your life being a permanent victim. And they don't want to be a victim. The people that are switching to Republican are not switching to Republican because they feel the Republicans are going to give them a handout. They're not switching to Republican because they feel that they're going to get a cushy job. They're switching because they feel that they're going to have a decent life, and that's what they really want. And that the Republicans or the MAGA actually has a plan. And if implemented, it's not going to turn over tomorrow, but there's hope that it'll turn over. And that plan has to work in conjunction with God and morality. And I believe that they are tired of seeing the other side, the drugs, the liquor, whatever, you know, whatever. We're back in the Roman Empire when give them some drugs and instead of sending them to the Colosseum, you're going to give them a bunch of video games. So they have moved beyond that, and they see that it's not working. And it was interesting to see the demonstrators. The pro-life demonstrators were mostly young millennial women. The pro-abortion demonstrators were mostly baby boomers. So the baby boomers haven't given up their Marxist ideas from the 60s and 70s, while the millennials are saying, wait a minute, you slaughtered our generation. You took away millions of millennials. You took away their lives. We don't want to do that. And I think it's very interesting to see that. And I'm thinking that that's beginning to happen, because the abortion wasn't a Republican-Democrat thing. The abortion gave us a chance to talk to each other. And once people became more pro-life, and I was reading a report on one of the blogs, and they were saying, this was on Yahoo, and they were saying how upset the majority of the people are at the abortion ruling by the Supreme Court. And 54% of the people think that it was a bad ruling and it should be ignored. And then at the bottom it says, this report was put together by NPR. Of course it's going to come out like that. But unfortunately, they're not going to look at the bottom part. They're not going to look at the disclaimer. They're going to look at what that report said. And that's why we need to be armed with data. And we need to challenge them. And the first question is a great one. When does life begin? Why are you a murderer? You're a baby killer. And that's what I would call them, not pro-abortion. I'll call them a baby killer. Baby killer Joe. That's what they're doing. They're killing babies. So let's call it what it is. That's what they do to us. Let's do that back to them. They're great at giving us labels. Let's do the same thing. We have to fight back. And that's the most important. And the rulings today in the Supreme Court, I believe, was a great step forward. And tomorrow I am looking forward and praying, and everyone should be praying, that the West Virginia versus the EPA goes in favor of West Virginia. Because the EPA is a group of renegade, I won't even call them scientists because they're not. They're report readers. Their reports are done on a computer, and they put in the worst-case scenario, and that's the one they expect you to live by. They're liars, and they have destroyed more businesses and given more harm to this country than you can imagine. But worse than that, they're not elected. Why are we following their rules? So we have to get back with a Congress that is stopping giving away their power to the executive branch, because the executive branch is too powerful. And I sincerely hope that the president in 2024 eliminates every single agency we have and puts in a lean agency in its place that will follow the law and follow the Constitution and do the right thing. Wouldn't that be nice? Then we get out of bed. Imagine that.
Yeah, those magic words, the Constitution. Let's get back to the Constitution. And let's understand what the Declaration of Independence means. We are so lacking. The dumbing down of Americans in these two areas has been amazing.
And you know what? At your barbecue that you have on Independence Day, it would be a very good idea for you to read the Declaration of Independence to your children, so that they actually know what it is that we're fighting for, especially those that are in the government schools. I'm sure if the kids are in a homeschool, they know the Constitution and they know the Declaration of Independence. But I am also sure that if they are in the government schools, they do not. So that would be a good thing to do. Then you can see how well they read. Pass it around and let each one read a paragraph. You'll be shocked when you see what they cannot read. In any event, Sally, it was wonderful to talk with you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I say it was wonderful to talk with you. Oh. Thank you so much for having me this evening. It is always a pleasure. and have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in, Karen. Always good info. Excuse me. And it truly is what we have to do. As you frequently say, knowledge is useless if you don't share it. We're out there sharing the knowledge, and we need everybody listening to spread the information and have an open discussion. But anyway, thank you, and yeah, hopefully we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely.
Okay, excuse me. And then after that, we still have Dr. Joe out there. And, John, if you're there, like I said, I don't know what happened to you. And the other is Joe, the other Joe. If you want to call back in, feel free to. Anybody else wants to join? I see other people out there, but you haven't pressed the one, so I don't know that you want to speak on the air. And I'm going to check my chat. Tonight the chat room is quiet. Sometimes there's people out there and sometimes there's not. Just don't know what to expect in that chat room. And with that being said, Dr. Joe, would you like to go ahead and add a little bit more to what we have been talking about?
Yeah, I would say that the other thing we should look at, and we didn't even really get it when I was in high school in the 70s, is Washington's farewell address is a good thing to read also on Independence Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. So we have gotten so far away. When I was working on my master's in public administration, one of the things we had to read was about the administrative state, and a lot of it came into being after the turn of the last century with the father of public administration, our own Woodrow Wilson, because he was a professor at Princeton, and they always try to justify all of these bureaucrats, you know, all these unelected people running these agencies, and they're still trying to justify their existence. Of course, we know them now as the deep state. But we need to get back to limited government. And that would involve, as you and Karen have already mentioned, getting rid of a lot of these, or scaling back a lot of these agencies, and maybe even dissolving a few of them. Maybe we need the Supreme Court to help us out with that.
Would kind of like to think about what would be, you know, if the EPA, an unelected quasi-governmental agency, just like there's so many all over the place, they're out there and they're denying an individual's right to pursue happiness, to have a job, to do whatever it is, the way that they're doing stuff, blocking people from doing things. What is the right of that individual to go and challenge what the EPA is saying? It's unconstitutional for a quasi-governmental agency to be doing this. Or what is the language from Congress that empowered all these agencies to go do this? The same with the Department of Education. I mean, with the Department of Education, it ought to be gone. We've been trying to get rid of it since at least Reagan, I think, maybe before that. Are we finally going to get somebody to do that? And I guess the question, since we know, assuming the Republicans take over the House and the Senate in 2022, that still leaves 2 years of Biden and Harris out there one way or the other, unless we get somebody who will actually impeach them. What do we do? What can Congress do now to shut down some of the stuff? When people talk about why is it so difficult to get rid of the Department of Education, and really it's true with a lot of these things, a lot of these agencies, but just for the discussion of the Department of Education, it's because of all the federal tax dollars that the states give. And when the state, and this is why you have to remember what a sovereign state is, what the role of the Constitution is saying, what's in the Constitution is what is supposed to be done by the federal government. It's not there, it goes to the state. But the states go out there and they want that money, so they sign on. And just like with transportation, and I know this all too well from Central Florida, if they go and take federal money for a useless rail train thing, whatever, commuter train that they think is going to solve all the problems of transportation and traffic congestion, if they do that, then if they cancel it or change it, whatever, because it fails, within a certain amount of years, they have to pay all that money back to the federal government. These are all the controls that the federal government has put over the states. And is that the constitutional value of that? It's like something just isn't right. We're a sovereign state, yet the people at the state level have signed away my rights to the federal government, too. There's, what do we do to clean up that kind of mess? And what is constitutional versus not constitutional? I mean, is that making any sense of what I'm saying, or am I confusing everybody?
Well, I think you need a big plan. You know, the best that we can do for the next 2 years is put the brakes on like we did in 2010 after Obama's midterm, first midterm. And then we have to get the White House back if you want to repeal some of the – or peel back, pare back what some of these agencies are doing. You know, Trump never had a chance to do that. He did as much as he could in his first 4 years with one arm tied behind his back, so to speak. But now that we know about the deep state and we know what the deal is, and, of course, even if he were to be elected in 2024, you know, it's still going to be maybe not the same, but it'll be some of it will be similar to what he had the first 4 years. So this, they're not going to, you know, the deep state, the Marxists and all that, they're not going to go away, and we'll always have to butt heads with them. Of course, the wild card here is, what will we have in the next couple of years? You know, with inflation, the Federal Reserve and the other central banks in the world are being exposed for all their ills of the debt creation over the last 40 years, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of moving parts here. I don't, you know, a lot of this is unraveling. You know, people are going to be scrambling for food come October, November. Who knows, the dollar is being devalued. We may even have a currency collapse. So many economic things in play here that we don't even know about. And that'll all be a distraction. And of course, it provides an opportunity for the Marxists to take power. Because when people are hungry, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I could talk for hours, and I know you don't have the time. But there's a lot of other things going on here in the background, unfortunately, that would even compete with paring back these agencies.
Well, and I mean, ultimately, that's why, you know, everything that we're seeing happen, and it truly started in 2016, and this is where I think if we would have had a stronger Supreme Court, maybe 2020, the election should have been changed. I don't know. I mean, I don't for 1 minute think that 2020 election was kosher by any means. But you got to really start. It was 2016. The same stuff was going on in 2016. And how we try to properly identify and prove the corruption of the elections. Everybody's always accepted a certain amount of fraud, but they never thought the fraud was big enough to do anything. Well, that's what was happening here, too. Hillary and Lynn, they just thought they had it all solved. She was going to be in there in 2016 to finish the job that Obama started and whatever else. It was all part of their grand plan, and that's why she was so – she kept pushing why she – there's no way she could have lost. They didn't do the formulas right. She did. They never expected Trump to be as popular as it was. They failed to get that right when Trump took over. And ever since that, there's been massive attack, which also includes, and people have to understand, just because someone's a Republican doesn't mean they're a constitutionalist or a conservative or whatever, because the Democrats know you vote for the party. So you go out there and you vote the Marxist Democrat, Marxist Communist Democrat, whatever you want to call them, runs as a Republican, uses all the talking points of the Republican, and then once they get in there, they do all the crazy things that we've seen many of them do. It's not a pretty picture, and people really have to pay much more attention to what's going on with this stuff. And how do we know what's going on is not constitutional. How many things do we truly believe? How many laws have they enacted? The Patriot Act, that Patriot Act is so unconstitutional. When do we have people that are going to have the courage to truly do as the Supreme Court is doing now? Wait a minute, time out, let's look at the Constitution. You're passing a bill. Is this bill constitutional? Is it, you know, what are we going to do to get that whole thing back in place? But, I mean,
yeah.
With
what's well, I think to your point.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, you know, this only happened on Friday, although we've had inklings because of the leak back in February. But I think, you know, now that it's official, the Supreme Court decision, perhaps people will come forth with lawsuits because it's expensive, you know, to go before the Supreme Court. But now, maybe people who are on the borderline, you know, well, on the fence, maybe they will proceed with some lawsuits, some good lawsuits on different issues. And this is a new day to bring things before the Supreme Court. So, you know, maybe, you know, that this is the beginning of all of that, too.
Yeah, in fact, actually, I think it was Thomas, Clarence Thomas, who said something about bringing up other things that we know were a bad law, too, just like the Roe v. Wade thing. And I know this is going to be one of the topics that are bound to be coming up as this process evolves, I feel certain it will. It's going to be the same-sex marriage stuff. Because, again,
I think we should get away from some of these social issues and really get into what you were talking about. Bring up some Supreme Court cases that involve the EPA and some of these agencies.
Yeah.
That's what we really need. You know, the other stuff is a distraction. If we want to get this economy going again, we have to remove these burdensome regulations. And quite frankly, the claim to fame of both Reagan and Trump is the fact that they didn't necessarily balance the budget or anything, but they got rid of a lot of regulations.
That's what's
killing our economy.
And actually, I should mention, and some of you got the email, and I believe, Dr. Joe, I think you were on the email as well. I did send an email to our wonderful Secretary of Energy, which I'm not even sure that's a valid role there either, but Secretary of Energy. I did send an email to her, and if you go out on the website, Department of Energy, there's actually two email addresses out there. Most of the time they block the emails. They don't want you to communicate. And I went out there, and I'm asking questions to this person because I'm like, what are you doing here? Your information seems to be bogus. And I put a lot of facts out there about the true impact of electric cars, what it takes to make the electric car, and, of course, the energy to run it. What would happen if everybody plugged in the electric car and started charging at the same time in this country? And that type of thing versus what the fossil fuel does. What they're saying is bogus. It's a lie. It's a fraud. Excuse me. And, I mean, is there something else out there on this other side for the electric car that would make them so much more environmentally friendly that I'm not seeing? Not when you go and put all the components into it. Now, if you're talking about strictly driving down the street, which one's cleaner, just at that very level there, driving down the street, maybe the electric car is truly cleaner at that point. However, what you got to do to get there, and the coal, the actual electric source, plus all the components, the minerals that they have to mine for to create those lithium batteries and all of that stuff, it's a fraud to say that the electric cars are better. Now, I just can't believe there can't be a case made. And this is where I have also sent this to a variety of Republicans saying, why aren't you following the facts or the science or whatever and talking about what's really going on here? And in my letter to the secretary, I said, give me proof of why you're doing something different. What is your real goal here? Is it the globalist arena? Are you attempting to help destroy this country? And if you support the Great Reset or New World Order or whatever else, you're violating your oath of office and you need to resign. And we need more people to go and communicate with these people. We cannot comply. And I think you were saying that pretty much earlier. We can't continue to go along with the garbage they're doing that's unconstitutional. We really have to be much more willing to push back. Excuse me. And I believe the football coach who was fired for being for praying on the field, football field, I think they said that case first started 7 years ago. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it takes a long time for the cases. It does, for cases to come before the Supreme Court. Many years.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, the process, like you say, is not fast and it's not easy. But we do have to pull the resources together for the right reasons. We have to have more class action suits and stuff. And, you know, have others been fired for the same thing, you know. What are we going to do to get prayer, get God back in the public schools? that type of thing too. And where do, why do they think it's unconstitutional to say God in school? You know, this is the insanity out there too. I don't know. What were some of the other cases? There was a case in Virginia, I believe it was, Virginia, where they were challenging the Republicans' rights to challenge the voter ID thing or something. That also went in favor of voter ID, so I thought that was good. I think it's interesting this Louisiana judge was trying to block the ban on the abortions, but I don't know if anything else has come up on that one. And then this one, I'm trying to understand what the Republicans in the Senate were doing here, right? The same time as the court protects the right to bear arms for the New York thing and goes against New York, we have a Senate with a bunch of rhinos in there who vote to have all these red flag things. And, you know, to a certain degree, the red flag laws, I'm still trying to get a handle on what they were trying to do. Something that they're going to fund, give money to the states to enact red flags, whatever else, but they're all missing the point anyway. Isn't that the whole reason why this kid went there and shot up the school isn't because there wasn't because of the gun laws. It's a lot more to do with the lack of any kind of structure within the family situation or something, or obviously, probably, I shouldn't say obviously.
Well, Sally, very often, Sally, when they pass these different policies and legislation, it has nothing to do with what you just saw with the school shooting. They just use that as an opportunity to get whatever they have been wanting to pass for many years to get it through. It creates the public groundswell. But it doesn't necessarily have any correlation to what actually happened. Will this prevent a school shooting? Probably not. Will this prevent shootings in Chicago, which already has the most restrictive gun laws? No. So, you know, it's always but will it try to restrict some of the rights, the Second Amendment rights of good citizens? Yes, and that's what they're trying to do. Because the only way we can become a communist country is if they take away the guns, period, the end. That's the bottom line. Take away the guns,
exactly.
Take away our free speech, and you have communism. So that's the bottom line right there, period. If anything else is going on, the hell with the schools, the hell with Common Core, the hell with all that, CRT. Bottom line is our Second Amendment. Because we're you know what, the chips are down, and this is it. This is it.
Exactly.
The middle class is being destroyed. The middle class is being destroyed.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. Dr. Joe, were you finishing up a statement, and then we'll go to Joe, who just joined?
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're out to destroy the middle class, because if they bleed us dry, we have no money to fight them back. So that's where we are, and then they can try to take our guns away.
And that's when people will cave, because they'll be afraid. The COVID thing kind of was a test on how easily people would cave in on some of this stuff as well. And then the other game that Biden's playing with the federal contract to get that one gun company to not make certain types of ammo. So they're playing a backdoor game, too, on trying to – you can have a gun. We just won't let you get any ammo for it. It's another game being played on that, too. Okay. Joe, I know you had called in earlier. Sorry I didn't get to you quite as soon as possible.
Nah, not a problem. Not
what
a problem. I thought that you were going to end about a half an hour ago. The thing is, I wish you would have a show at least twice a week so I can, you know, show up. Once a week isn't good enough for me, Sally. Sorry.
I'll work
okay.
on it.
Yeah. I happen to disagree with a lot of people's views. The only thing I do disagree with was with Karen's assessment of if you know your body, don't get pregnant. Once you made that choice to get pregnant, you know what the repercussions are. So don't get pregnant, and you won't have to worry about getting an abortion or not getting an abortion. So I agree with her on that. The Dr. Joe, who says, well, the only thing stopping communism is taking away our guns. Disagree with that. You can keep all the guns in place. There's an assumption amongst people that somehow in the next few years, America is going to regain its glory, and either through Trump or DeSantis or some other savior, that the corporation, which a lot of people think America is not going to fall. I happen not to be one of them. I happen to believe that in 2 to 3 years, we'll probably face a Mad Max scenario. And the reason why is because I believe that the Illuminati exists. I believe that their transhumanist agenda is right around the corner in a few years or so. And I also know that there are politicians, and we all know about chemtrails, but they also are taking carbon dioxide out of the air, oxygen out of the air. They want a complete destruction of the planet, and it doesn't matter if we have guns. They have satellites, drones. They'll have advanced robots in a few years, more than just the dancing robots they've got now. They've got submarines, aircraft carriers, helicopters, sonar, radar, et cetera. Doesn't matter if we have guns. We'll run out of ammunition, and our AR-15s, Westchesters, Remingtons, will all dry up. They're not after control. They're after complete destruction, in my opinion. Now, if other people believe that, then the guns don't matter. If other people believe that somehow we are, as a country, are going to be revived, then of course the guns matter. So my opinion is guns don't matter. The final countdown is here. So that's my opinion.
Well, I guess there's I can definitely appreciate that opinion. But I have to try to have some kind of hope. Or are we truly, I'm not the biblical scholars that some people are, to go and say, are we really at the end there? If you go back to the Bible, where do we stand right now? Are we at the end? Are we at the end, and this is really going to be it, and there is no saving the human condition, no saving the human soul, whatever else kind of thing. Dr. Joe, I know you might be able to answer that from a biblical standard. Are we truly close to the end here?
I have no idea. I mean, you know, they've been saying we've been at the end for 2,000 years, so... I do appreciate Joe's perspective on the fact that the Illuminati control all the other stuff, and it's not just the guns.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, and the question is, what do we do? And I guess Joe, that's the question. I'll go back to you. The fact of the matter is, I know there's crazies out there who want to rape and attack and rip off people and burn down buildings, whatever else. And we can have a whole day discussion as to why they would do that. Have they been allowed to get away with it because of some of the things, the crazy rulings and the courts and stuff like that. But the fact that I know that's out there, do I just say, well, it's going to happen sooner or later, someone's going to attack me and blow my head off because we just know that's what's going to happen because we have crazies out there. Or we know that the government's corrupt and they're selling us out to China left and right. We know these different things are happening, Illuminati included.
Mm-hmm.
So do we just say, oh, well, it's going to happen, I'm going to sit here and wait? Which is one of my questions been on that southern border a lot. At what point do we have the right to defend ourselves? And at what point should we defend ourselves? Because right now I feel like we're just standing here waiting for someone to come lop off our heads or do whatever.
Yeah,
because
I think
we're not supposed to do anything.
Right. I'll answer the question as best as I can. Right now I believe all we're doing as Americans is rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. Is it inevitable that we're going to go down the drain? No. Is it very probable? I would say 90 to 95%. The Illuminati controls everything. And I also believe, and I think I discussed this on your show before, as of about 2 months ago, not through 24-karat ghost smoking gun evidence, but through connecting the dots, is that I believe that aliens are here, and I believe the aliens control the planet, controlling the Illuminati. you can call them Luciferians or you call them the Anarchy. I don't know. I'm not into that. I just feel that any bunch of psychopaths who are going to be taking oxygen out of the atmosphere, carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, spraying the atmosphere with chemtrails, polluting the atmosphere, the agriculture, the food supply with their particular poisons, they're not there to just kill people in order to control them. They will be destroying the atmosphere. They will be destroying the surface of the planet, which ergo means they are definitely psychopaths, but are psychopaths on a suicidal trip? I doubt it. I doubt if any psychopath who wakes up in the morning who wants to kill people is going to say, I am now going to burn down a building with a bunch of people, and I'm going to go inside the building and burn with it. And no, the idea that there may be cities underground or cities inside the heart of mountains doesn't do it for me, because natural-born humans, we need natural light, and we have to ask ourselves, where's the water going to come from when the outside water is going to be polluted as a result of these creatures who are going to go underneath this, the surface or into the mountains? And natural light will not provide for us the vitamin D and what our DNA requires. So I say aliens are here as a result of that, not because of people who have said they've been abducted or the UFO project, which may be a viable project. You just don't have the wealthiest families in the world just deciding, I'm going to destroy everybody with me in it. Doesn't make sense. So what we can do, yes, we need our guns. Should we go and become and run for a local office? Okay, if you feel like it. But the major question is, the cancer comes from Congress. Congress controls the states. The states control the local municipalities through federal funds, a trickle down through state funds to city funds, because all the funds that are coming from Congress, we all know they have strings attached. And to save the republic, we need to have governors who are not corrupt. Now, outside of perhaps DeSantis, perhaps whoever, I forget the governor's name of South Dakota, maybe Abbott, who else do we know of that has the balls to stand up to Pelosi, to McConnell, to whomever? I don't think they got the balls. That's because they're corrupt as well. So I think, what, in order to save us, I think it has to come from within the Illuminati or within the aliens for them to have a war, to fight amongst themselves, the good and evil. Hopefully the good will win, and we as humans will benefit from it. I know it's more of a metaphysical science fiction scenario, but sorry, I can't think of anything else.
Well, do you think George Soros is an alien? I think he might be one.
He might be. Look, you know, he sold out his people at the age of 13 and said he never regretted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a psychopath.
Yeah. Definitely. Dr. Drew, anything you want to chime in on?
Just that he's a psychopath. You know, we have a bunch of them out there. You know.
Amen.
Zuckerberg absolutely looks like an alien hybrid, but, you know.
Yeah, he does. I can actually see that. Yep, and then he, of course, he's the one with all the drop boxes out there and all the other stuff. So, yeah.
That's right.
It's amazing how these people manage to get their hands on so much money, which gives them way too
God,
much
isn't
power.
Well, there are some theories about that and how, you know, and how he came to be in control of Facebook. You know, and that's a whole nother discussion, whether he was set, you know, put in there by some powers that be, et cetera. So, and then
yeah,
the payback was
like an open.
Yeah,
yeah,
the payback
the open
was
secret
for him to do those boxes back in 2020.
Yeah, if you put aside
the
Luciferian type of...
What was done was illegal, but no one does anything about it. And when I see these kind of things that are so blatantly, obviously illegal, and yet we the people don't have the right to go after those who allowed it to happen, it's insane.
I know. We do have some honest judges, which are very, to me, is like a ray of hope, and we need law enforcement to stand up. But law enforcement laid down, 2 years ago for BLM. You think they're not going to lay down this summer if BLM comes around?
Exactly. But people are beginning to realize a little bit more about what BLM really is, too, which is a true Marxist organization with a bunch of people who got rich off of the blacks that they claimed they were trying to help. And
mm-hmm.
Black lives don't matter to those people.
That's true. And another thing why I say the guns don't matter is another, look, all we need is an EMP from South Korea or China or a guerrilla attack or a false flag, and the grid goes out. What do you think is going to happen to America if the grid's out for a week? Just a week.
Well,
with no
I'll
food in the shelves, no power.
It's kind of interesting. Something that I've... not on the grid itself kind of thing, but something I have asked and try to figure some way to make it happen so that we would wake up some people, like especially these people in office. Like, I would like for everybody just to shut down for a day. Hey, you know what? We're tired of the garbage you're doing. We're going to stop. We're just shutting down the economy. We're shutting down everything. With or without you, you're going to see that we're sick of what you're doing and that we're not going to comply and totally shut the whole thing down themselves before somebody else does it. It's almost like the reverse psychology.
But here's the fly in that ointment. A few years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, definitely in the 2000s, 90s and so, that would be effective because at that particular time, the corporations would want to start back up. The government would want to start back up. They would want to continue with their profit making, which is, I'm a capitalist, I'm all for it, as long as you don't steal it from other people. And the government would want to continue along with their corruption. But what does the Illuminati want now? Destruction of everything. So any type of chaos, regardless of whether they do it or if we do it in our defense, feeds into their psychomania.
Scary times, definitely is. It's very frustrating, and I can't totally dismiss all of what you're saying. I mean, I don't want to think that way.
I wish you would, Sally. Please do come up with something better than what I've got, will you? Okay.
Actually,
I wish somebody
when it comes
would.
To the Illuminati and stuff. There's so much that is never. How many kids do you think ever learned anything about Illuminati in school?
A lot of people, even the immigrants, know about the Illuminati. It's a fascinating stuff. Like, everybody knows about the mob. I've had discussions with strangers, and somehow we dived into the Illuminati and George Soros and what's happening. And this was years ago before COVID. About what's happening, to America. And now, of course, those who do our research, we know that COVID is the long COVID that they're calling it. Now, as a result of the vaccine and the COVID itself, is changing the DNA of everybody who's caught it and everybody who's gotten the vaccine. Unless, of course, the vaccine was saline and a placebo. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, look, one of the pioneers of bioweaponry in the United States said years ago that the vaccine was a bioweapon.
Oh, yeah.
People don't believe
it. Well, I mean, over the years, their insanity of the vaccines, and I mean, how many vaccines a typical kid will have before they're 18 nowadays? And it's that one other, that lady doctor Northrop, something like Christina Northrop, I think is her name. Anyway, she's doing out there, and of course Kennedy, he's out there with the vaccine stuff. And to me, it's when it comes to that, and it's kind of off topic here, not getting onto the Supreme Court stuff here, but. When all these kids started developing autism, I mean, when I was growing up, I never knew anybody who had autism. There were probably one or two out there scattered about, but there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, all these kids, I see these commercials all the time for St. Jude's and whatever else with all these kids having cancer. Don't people think, why is this happening? And what is it that you're doing to these kids, which is all these vaccines? I agree. The vaccines are deadly. They're poisoning. And I remember an elderly lady, she passed away when she was 101, and she swore up and down, and her mother didn't believe in the vaccines. And we're warning people back then. She died a few years ago, and she died when she was 101, so she knew a little bit about what was going on out there. And I believe it, too, the vaccines. They're killing us with a poison, and that's why I keep talking about the fentanyl, too. Look at how China has how much has China taken control of this country, and how easily China can go out there and contaminate the food supply. The fentanyl, almost all of it comes from China. And I was mentioning earlier about, what was it, some guy in California had enough fentanyl to kill 12 million Americans. So why anybody paying attention to this compared to COVID?
Well, the answer to any and all questions which are similar to that is that our Congress is corrupt. They know what's going on. You have to be, if you're a doctor, engineer, or a lawyer who's been elected to Congress, and you don't know what's going on after a two-year, four-year, six-year term, and you don't know what's going on in America, that's not stupidity. That's deliberately looking the other way as a result of being bribed or extorted or blackmailed.
And I wonder how many are in Congress who are genuinely too scared to say anything. It really is very similar to these doctors who were in these hospitals who would not give the ivermectin or the hydroxychloroquine. And Dr. Joe can probably talk to that better than anyone. But the whole idea that they're, I don't know, if subservient to it, they're held hostage to it. They can't go against what this hospital is because, once again, the federal government has money, or government has money in the hospitals, and if they go and do what's right, they risk losing their license or getting, just like some of these other doctors, but some of these other doctors were with their individual, you know, had their own practice. And then, of course, was the one guy, Peter McClure. He's out there. He's got so much credibility to begin with, it's kind of hard for them to totally shut him down, even though they try to. It's all pretty sick. And where do we, the people, have the right to go? And COVID has been a fraud. It's been an attack on us. It's been a fraud. What are our rights to file a suit against Fauci and company? How come these people are allowed to be totally immune? How are these drug companies allowed to be immune? And you go back, how did these people that are in public office, isn't it treason when you go and talk about insurrection? What about this kind of stuff? So what do we have, you know? I don't know, but it's kind of the same question. Now, since going around in circles here, we can see what's wrong, and how do we fix it?
I am glad you brought up lawsuits. That is, because I had brought up judges before when I first started speaking. We do have a few honest judges. Lawsuits are a good point, because it's lawsuits that bring out documents in court as a result of discovery that show that Pfizer, Moderna, CDC, NIH, FDA, and Congress have been in cahoots with one another with regards to knowing that these vaccines did not work, and in some instances, knowing from year 2015, 2014, that vaccines were not going to work, but they did it anyway. They knew that these so-called vaccines were dangerous. When you have documents as a result of discovery showing from the other side that they realized that what they were doing was wrong, and people don't wake up, well, the mainstream media doesn't really publicize it, but if you take a look at that and don't feel like you've been smacked in the head, you're a true idiot. And I have talked to people who I believe are true idiots, that they actually, even if they got imprisoned, okay, by the police, they would still blame Trump for everything. I have talked to people who said that Joe Biden, I'm serious. I said, it's been on video that Joe, that in the precincts, in the polling places, people took the ballots and ran them through the machines three times in order to give Biden three times the vote instead of just one vote. And the person I talked to said, well, that's how he won. Like, it's normal business. I'm saying, oh, for God's sake. I just ended the conversation there because I said, if I can't get through to you with that, forget it. So there are people who, no matter what, will come up with an excuse as, it's not their fault, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's my fault. And they will go along with authority. That's the purpose of brainwashing, to take away your ability to think. We are a brainwashed, stupid, dumbed down people.
And it took a while to get there, but I can't argue that point. I've been saying it for years about the dumbing down of Americans. And, of course, Karen's talked about it many times with education, how we manipulated the education system, the system that was supposed to empower people and make create the next rocket scientist, the next brain surgeon, whatever else, was used as a weapon against us. And the dumbing down of people and changing the culture and everything else, it's absolutely the truth. And that's my good old saying with Jefferson, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect it never was and will never be. We have become a very ignorant nation, and you cannot stay free if you're ignorant. So hopefully some of the information we're putting out there is educating a few people, making a few aware, making them challenge the other stuff. Critical thinking. We want to teach critical race, but we don't want to teach critical thinking. We don't want to, depending on the sex education thing, because I've been hearing this lately, too, as all this has been going on with Roe v. Wade. It's like, we really need to do something about sex education. But I don't understand. Shouldn't parents teach their kids this stuff? And that's where we got to get back to having the family. We've done everything we can to destroy the family, and how much of that's been part of this degradation of the culture itself, too. You destroy the culture. It's one thing leads to another, but without a doubt, the dumbing down of people. See, it's just brainwashing and dumbing down. And how much of that was done through TV, just by having people get brainwashed by watching whatever it may be, especially mainstream media.
Well, of course, and I experienced it. You experienced it. Everybody experienced it. I remember when I was a Democrat. I believed everything. I was confused, but I believed everything the government told me. I believed everything that was in a textbook because I said to myself, these people are not going to lie to me. These people are entrusted with the truth. They know more than I do. You know, I can question. I can be confused. But it was one day when I had an epiphany, when I had that epiphany, and it was about Congress being traitors. Everything came into place. The selling of our military secrets to China way back when, the letting of the mafia go, certain cities which are famous for election fraud keep continuing to have election fraud over and over again. Everything just made sense. It was because, like George Carlin said, the good people are not going to come forth to get out the bad people. Because there aren't really that many good people. Everybody can be bought in some way or another, even if it's out of desperation. If I ran for Congress, I was a governor. I was the most honest politician since Abe Lincoln. Somebody comes to me and says, I'm going to kill every one of your grandkids if you don't do what I say. And I know I cannot catch this person, right? I can't. Because the FBI is corrupt or this person is that elusive? Hey, you know what? I just might pass some laws that would be treasonous to America in order to save my grandkids.
A sad situation. And I'll tell you, it makes me think, I don't know how many people will go out and watch stuff off of Rumble or whatever, but I was, there's It's on Rife TV as well. The Edge of Wonder. And it really, it probably has some of the stuff on the Illuminati out there, even though I haven't seen that piece of it. But they go into a lot of stuff. And there was a segment that I watched over the weekend, and they were talking about going back to Eisenhower and the military-industrial complex, how this stuff was started there, how corrupt the CIA was, what the CIA and the FBI, what they were doing when it came to Nixon and Watergate and this other stuff, and how this has just been, this has been going on for decades. We have been under attack, and it's true, to your point, we've, by the public schools, even before all the crazy unions got out there, the whole idea was the government is going to work for you. They work for you. You are the boss. It's your government. They are working on your behalf, and you're supposed to be able to trust them. And the dumbing down came down to where you were never the critical thinking, and you were never forced to challenge what they said or did, and you're just supposed to trust them. Why? And I mean, I ask people today, why would you trust anything Fauci said? Now, in the very beginning of all this COVID stuff, Fauci was out there. Now, I give Trump a little bit of a break saying, you know, he's not a medical doctor. He was depending on the experts. But in very short order with Fauci, I said, why would you believe anything that guy says? And then you learn about this other doctor. Can't remember what her name is.
Burks, right?
Who was it?
Deborah Burks.
Deborah Burks, B-I-R-X. Yeah, CDC, Burks. Another quasi-governmental agency that was given power that shouldn't have been it. But, yes, between her and Fauci, why would you believe any of other ones? But I was thinking about the other doctor who worked with Fauci with the HIV stuff way back when, and she's known some – she was on that Zoom call last week. What's her name?
Judy Mikovits.
Yeah, Mikovits. Yeah, that's her. And see, she was apparently, I mean, she seems to be pretty honest. She's the one who wouldn't cave in and went to jail, and they did everything they could to intimidate her. But at this point in time, there's something very sick in the society and in the culture, and, of course, those in public office, where Fauci is allowed to continue. The highest paid federal employee who's out there trying to destroy our country and crimes against humanity big time. Either he's the most stupid, ignorant, clueless idiot in his industry, or he's the most evil and corrupt. Take your pick. Is he the Illuminati? Maybe he's one of them. I don't know. But he, there's absolutely no reason he should be there. He is the one who should be behind bars right now. There should be a massive court class action suit against that guy for all the crap he spewed out there. It's just unbelievable to me that nothing has been done about him. And the same is true with these big pharma, where, again, all the corruption, all the money, follow the money, where they can produce any kind of vaccine and they're not liable. And as I understand, that was all a result of what Reagan did. And back in the day, I can sort of understand if you're developing a vaccine, supposedly you're doing this because you're trying to help people. You know, that's what the medical profession used to be, trying to help people. So you're trying to do the study. And it takes a very long time, and, you know, it's whatever else. And there's always going to be a risk, because until you truly have a vaccine out there in use for decades, there's some things you won't know. You're not going to know until there's been a true extended period of time. So this was somehow what was giving them the immunity on some of the stuff. And I believe the other way around, which I think what Trump was doing is the right to try. If there's some experimental medication and you have no other options or whatever else, you should have the right to try using it if you want to. But I don't think there should be a blanket immunity to these to big pharma all over this stuff. Think about what big pharma and big tech and it's just disgusting. And you have to accept the fact that no one is watching out for us, and this is why we cannot continue to comply with their insanity, and we've got to do something to – Fauci, I guess my question, we're getting down to the last few minutes here. I want to put a question out there to both you guys. Assuming the Republicans take over, and I'm definitely not one of those who think the Republicans are going to save the world. What is going to be the first thing you think they should do to give them any credibility and to make you feel like they're actually going to do something to help us as a country and as a society and to restore what's going on. So I'll go, Joe, I'll give you that, and then Dr. Joe, I'll let you wrap up with that one. And tell me, what do you think is, what should the Republicans do as the very first thing when they get in power?
Doc, if you want to go first, because my answer would be about 3 minutes long, I already can't answer that because I've already addressed it. Doc, if you want
to go ahead and that out. Yeah, they should dissolve the January 6th committee. They should start impeachment hearings for Biden and others. We know we really need to clean up the House and the executive branch, and they need to bring forth all of the and even the pandemic. They need to bring forth all this to the public.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence that they will do it?
Well, it depends on who's running the committees, right? Like Jim Jordan and some others. It depends on who the chairmans are going to be.
Well, if Trump is the Speaker of the House, I think we have a better chance. Okay. Hmm. Thank you. Good info. Joe?
Okay. As a result of having been on your show, Sally, and semi-grilled that particular candidate that you had, I went to another show, and she allowed me to grill another potential candidate. And I said to this particular person, corruption is my number one fixation. And he agreed with me. And I said, would you, in your first day and your first week, would you appoint a commission? He was running for senator, but I also did this with another politician who was running for governor. As a matter of fact, two politicians. But the one person, I said, would you be willing to appoint an AG in order to investigate election fraud and fraud in general? And would you also be willing, if you're the senator now I'm talking to, would you be willing to go around to your 50 other Republican colleagues, ask them to join you, not to co-sponsor a bill, because that's part of the protocol, which gets us all bogged down into, well, the Democrats are obstructionists, the Republicans are obstructionists, and you have to get a bill onto the floor of past committee, you're not going to do it. But would you go around to your other 50 Republicans? He even said, I'll even go around with Democrats. I said, fine. Ask them if they'd be willing to support you if you want to investigate corruption in the highest level. And if they say no, would you be willing to expose them, print their names in your newsletter, and have a press conference the first week you are in an office? And if you don't do it, are you willing to have a recall so that we can get you or anybody else out of there in about a month? So that's what I would do. In other words, put skin in the game. If you don't, these politicians are always talking about, well, what we have to do, what we need to do. Well, fine. What's your plan? Here's what I say the plan should be. Go around to the other politicians, get their names, yes or no, let your constituents know, and then let everybody know in the United States, these people are not willing to investigate corruption. They're not willing to investigate the 2,000 mules and anything else. Get them out now for recall. Don't wait for 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years to be up. Get them out now.
Well, I definitely can support that idea myself. I would be happy to see who would do that. It's those kind of things. You really have to call them on the carpet and say, what are you really made of? And if they've been – the other, obviously, depending on how long they've already been out there, how quick they'll give that answer, I think. It's very interesting. I would definitely like to see what their answers are. And if you're not willing to clean up the mess, yeah, go ahead.
The one politician was running for Senate in Arizona, I think it was Arizona, he said yeah. The one who was running for governor of, he was either Oregon or Canada, I think of Arizona, he said yeah. They don't know each other, but he said yeah. As a matter of fact, it was in his contract that he has up on his website. Not the recall function, but the fact that he would, within the first month, he would want to have the election fraud investigated.
Well, I know Carrie Lake, who's running for governor of Arizona, is definitely she's a lot like DeSantis. She's going to put it out there, and she's going to do something about that border and stuff like that. I believe that she would truly do it. I believe that she has the backbone to do it, and I'm really hoping she does get elected as the governor of Arizona. I don't know about the other guy you're referring to.
Was it Neely Scott, I think is his name, and I forget the name of the other. Amber somebody rather was running for governor of Oregon. And the guy that I was talking to running for, is Joe Gibson. He has a talk show on Black Talk Radio. So you can go there if you want and talk to him about it.
Oh, yeah.
But the
Joe
thing
Gibson,
is, what
yeah.
I wanted, yeah, I wanted a deadline. I didn't want somebody to say, well, I'm going to investigate corruption because we need to. This is the number one, and the vaccine is the number one cause of our time. Do it in the first week and expose those publicly who do not agree with you. That means you're
exactly.
putting yourself at risk. Okay?
Yep. No guts, no glory.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So, okay, well, we are out of time right now, but very good info. Good discussion, thank you. And we did hit on some of the things with SCOTUS. Things always kind of deviate. 2 hours, it's and we would have had to gone down every single case, and truthfully, I didn't have all the cases. But I am, I've been happy to see what I've seen the Supreme Court do. I'm happy to see that it looks like they might actually somewhat embrace the Constitution for a change, which they haven't done in the past. And I'm going to keep the faith as much as I can. I'm going to continue to not comply. I'm going to continue to participate to the extent that I can. I'm going to be an American, and I'm going to fight for what I believe is right and see what happens. Well, we will see where it leads us. Dear Lord, help us. May God be with us, that type of thing. And with that being said, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please remember, next week, what are we celebrating? Independence Day. Do not say July 4th. It's Independence Day, which happens to fall on July 4th. But the event is Independence Day. So please keep that in mind, and we will be talking about the Declaration next week, and we'll take it from there. Please be involved. Be good to each other. Say a prayer for America, and we will talk again next week. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Joe and Dr. Joe. It's been a great discussion, and we will talk again next week as well.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
And everybody be
safe. God bless America.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right. Take care now.